Our reading for today is from Isaiah 64, 5 through 65, 9. Please rise for the reading of God's Word. You can find it on page 531 in our Pew Bibles. It's Isaiah 64, 5 through 65, 9. We read in Jesus' name. You come to the help of those who gladly do right, who remember your ways. But when we continued to sin against them, you were angry. How then can we be saved? All of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous acts are like filthy rags. We all shrivel up like a leaf, and like the wind our sins sweep us away. No one calls on your name or strives to lay hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and made us waste away because of our sins. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure, O Lord. Do not remember our sins forever. O, look upon us, we pray, for we are all your people. Your sacred cities have become a desert. Even Zion is a desert. Jerusalem is a desolation. Our holy and glorious temple, where our fathers praised you, has been burned with fire, and all that we treasured lies in ruins. After all this, O Lord, will you hold yourself back? Will you keep silent and punish us beyond measure? I have revealed myself to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. To a nation that did not call on my name, I said, here am I, here am I. All day long I have held out my hands to an obstinate people who walk in ways not good, pursuing their own imaginations. A people who continually provoke me to my very face, offering sacrifices in gardens and burning incense on altars of brick, who sit among the graves and spend their nights keeping secret vigil, who eat the flesh of pigs, and whose pots hold broth of unclean meat, who say, keep away, don't come near me, for I am too sacred for you. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. See, it stands written before me. I will not keep silent, but will pay back in full. I will pay it back into their laps. Both your sins and the sins of your fathers, says the Lord. Because they burned sacrifices on the mountains and defied me on the hills, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, and men say, don't destroy it, there is yet some good in it. So I will do on behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. I will bring forth descendants from Jacob, and from Judah those who will possess my mountains, and my chosen people will inherit them. And there will my servants live. Please pray with me. Lord, there are many temptations and distractions in our daily lives that try to pull us away from your word to us. We ask you now for your blessing on this time so that we hear your word and so that it will make its home in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. So for any of you that haven't met me yet, my name's Kevin Hall and I'm our intern pastor here. For the next year or so, I'll be working with and learning from Pastor Sperry. I just finished up my classes at the Free Lutheran Seminary, and now you're all stuck with me. So, unless you fire me, I guess. But enough about me, because this morning, Isaiah has a question for all of us. What's your steeple stand for? Look at this picture. You've all heard the saying, if you don't like the weather in North Dakota, just wait 10 minutes. Well, I actually don't think that saying applies to North Dakota. But around here, it seems like if you don't like the weather, you can just drive 10 miles and it'll be totally different. And that was the case this morning, that morning there. In Beulah, it was wonderful. It was sunny and shiny. But 10 miles north, it was rumbling and barking and dark and chaotic. So in this picture, it looks like our church is in the middle of the storm, but still sunny and bright. And stabbing up into the middle of that darkness and chaos is our steeple. It's like a sunlit dagger piercing into darkness. It's an awesome picture of standing in the storm. But we all know that that's not the way life always goes, and here's the proof. Sometimes our steeples fall. Or sometimes, like in this picture, a storm rips the roof off our building before we even have a chance to put our steeple on it. And when that happens, we're all kind of left with the uneasy question, God, why did you let this happen? I mean, our steeple was supposed to be pointing directly to you. How come it's lying in a heap of rubble? The voices that we hear in our Bible text today are standing over the ruins of their sanctuary and asking exactly the same question. In verses 10 and 11 of chapter 64, we hear the people of Jerusalem say, "Our city is a total wasteland. There's nothing left. Our temple, where our ancestors praised you, has been burned with fire." In short, they were saying, "God, we're your people. Why is everything we treasured laying in ruins?" But they aren't unique. All of us, when we face trials, whether they're health-related or relationship-related or job-related, or whether it's a storm ripping the roof off our building, we're all just a little tempted in those moments to think that God has abandoned us or is punishing us or he's just plain forgot about us. We don't always know why bad stuff happens. Sometimes, as in the case for the Israelites in our text, God has allowed disaster into people's lives to bring them to repentance and salvation. And sometimes the trials are a direct result of our sin. But sometimes it's the opposite of that. Sometimes we endure trials so that our faith in the midst of our suffering can be a light to everyone else around us. Sometimes we even endure the painful effects and side effects of other people's sin so that we can call them to salvation and repentance. In those moments, we are the precious juice in the midst of a crushed cluster of grapes. Despite all the destruction around us, our faithfulness still brings blessing to ourselves and to others. And yet sometimes bad things happen and we just don't really know why. The challenge here is that in our sinfulness, when our steeples fall, we tend to wrongly blame God. Which is actually what the Israelites are doing in chapter 64. First they say, "Yes, God, we're all sinners. No one does anything good." But then they go on to say, "We're the clay. You're the potter, God. You made us this way, God. How can you blame me for my sin? It's not my fault I'm sinning." Look at verse 8 in chapter 64. It looks pretty religious. It almost sounds Christian. God, you're the Father, we're just the clay. Except in verse 9, they say, we're all your people. But in verse 11, they admit they are not God's people. When they say, every single thing we hold dear lies in ruins. You see, those two things are contradictory. You can't say both, God, we're your people, and everything I treasure lies in ruins, because God's people treasure God's word. You can't be a part of God's people except through his word. So while some people say, everything I treasure lies in ruins, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8 says, the word of God stands forever. Some people say, we're shriveled up like leaves and our sins sweep us away in the wind. But chapter 64, verse 6 from our text. But Psalm 1 says, the person who meditates on God's word is like a tree whose leaves do not wither and are not blown away. And so you see, you can't say, God, I'm one of your people, and then also say, everything I treasure has been destroyed. Because God's people treasure God's word, and God's word will never, ever be overthrown. They can take everything from you. They can burn everything you own. They can even burn your paper Bible. But God's word stands forever. The people of God are the people of God by grace through faith. You can't have faith without the word of God in your life. But when you place your faith in God's word, Jesus Christ, they can't take that away from you. It can't be ruined. In Christ, you are a steeple that cannot be knocked over. Through faith in God's gracious promises, the promise that he sent his Son for you. And so if you trust in him, your sins are forgiven. That faith will make you stand in any storm. Even the biggest, blackest, most chaotic storm of all, which is death. God's word gives us those promises, and God's word stands forever. And so you see, the people of Jerusalem had it wrong when they blamed God for their sin and the fallout from it. Not only is God not the source of our sin, he also graciously offers to save us from it. We can't be like them and say, yeah, I sinned a little, but so does everyone else. They're asking God, they're saying, hey, can't you be more tolerant? Can't you just tolerate a little bit of sin? But that can't be our message. If the only thing our steeple stands for is to tell the world, hey, nobody's perfect, and that's okay, well, a steeple that doesn't take sin seriously won't stand for long. By now you've probably caught on that my sermon isn't really supposed to be an architectural lecture, but rather it's a metaphor for our lives, complete with all these perfect pictures that Darcy gave me. But it fits. Our steeple here at Prince of Peace is pretty big. You can see it just about from 49 and 200, and you can see it way over in my backyard. It's on display for the world to see, just like our lives are on display daily for the community around us to see. So it matters what the steeple points to and what it stands for, just like it matters what our lives point to and what they stand for. It grieves me to say this, but there are many who call themselves Christians in our country who are steeples pointing to the wrong things. There are two main errors that our text today is looking at. We already talked about the first one. It's the anti-law, God made me this way. Sin's not a big deal, so let's just not get all worked up about that. That attitude's taken over many churches, and it's a heartbreaking error because that is not the problem. The problem is not that God created you sinful. If your plan for the final judgment is to stand in front of God and say, "Baby, I was born this way," this is your wake-up call. Repent. Because the gospel of Jesus Christ does not leave people captive to the dark powers of sin. Jesus Christ liberates sinners from sin. But he can't do that if sinners refuse to take the problem of sin seriously. No steeple and no person that carries the name of Jesus Christ should ever stand for the message, "Sin's not a big deal. It's God's fault anyways. Everyone's fine just the way they are." Sin is a big deal. That's why there's a cross on top of our steeple. That's why the Israelites had to watch the bloody sacrifice of animals in their temple every day, so that they would know sin is a big deal. And Jesus had to die to fix it. But just admitting that sin is a problem is not enough. There's a second very common problem in American Christianity. You can still take sin seriously and still not have your steeple pointing at the right thing. You see, once our steeple is up and standing, then we're tempted to get the idea that we deserve credit for building it. When our steeples stand, we tend to wrongly take credit. This is also a constant temptation for all of humankind. Throughout the history of the world, mankind has always imagined that our actions, or how good we are, or how nice we are, or how religious we are, or whatever. Men and women have always thought that if they are just religious enough, then they can earn their righteousness. God starts speaking in chapter 65. And when he does, he takes this error head on. In verses 2 through 5, God says of those people, quote, "They pursue their own imaginations, doing things like burning incense on altars and keeping secret vigils, and warning other people to keep away because I am too sacred for you." Who says that? I'm too sacred for you? I'm too holy for you? What if our missionaries showed up on the field and they were like, "Hey, nice to meet you. I worship Jesus. So just give me a little space because I'm too sacred for you." If I was going down the interstate and I passed a car that had the license plate "Too Holy for You," I'd be tempted to cut them off just to test their sanctification. Don't do that. Sin's a big deal, even moving violations. Saying "I'm too sacred for you" is absolutely ridiculous, and we all know it. But I think the text here is pointing to the absurdity of it so that we can all take a moment and ask ourselves, is it possible that this is what people see when they look at us? The funny thing is, if you take the guy doing the first error, who blames God for all his sin, and you put him in a room with the second guy who thinks he's too holy for everyone, they will argue like crazy. They'll talk about oppression and societal degradation. They'll talk about the breakdown of our country's moral fabric, and they'll talk about how much hurt intolerance causes. They will argue for hours without realizing that on the single most important question that faces mankind, they agree, and they are both wrong. That question is, do you trust in the grace of Jesus Christ for your salvation and the forgiveness of your sins? And they will both have to answer no. They don't. The first guy doesn't need grace because sin's no big deal anyways. The second guy doesn't need grace because he's earned plenty of forgiveness already through his clean living and religious dedication. And brothers and sisters, those guys represent the twin temptations that we face every day as we try to live by grace through faith. And you are honest and intelligent people, so you can admit with me that we fail and succumb to those temptations often. But now it's probably worth asking ourselves, which temptation are we more likely to succumb to? It's not like one's better or worse. They're both temptations to forsake grace. So I'm kind of new here. There's some of you I still haven't even met yet. But I have a general feeling for North Dakotans and a general feeling for the AFLC. And I think in general, most of us still tend to take sin pretty seriously. So by process of elimination, that means the stronger temptation for us is to take credit for what God has done for us and to us. Isaiah 65, 2 through 7 is a long description of people who have forsaken God's grace and instead begun to practice a religion that centers on how awesome they are. It's not that they aren't religious. They are very religious, but through their own imaginations, they have come to believe that it's their religiosity that makes them righteous. That's how you get this jaded view that you are too holy for other people. You forget that all your righteousness and holiness were a gift from God, purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ. And when we forget that, we are no longer steeples pointing to Christ, but we are instead towers of Babel, monuments to our own self-righteousness and achievement. But our righteousness comes exclusively from Jesus Christ. And anything we mix with that or pretend to add to that, whether it's our own good works or our religious dedication, anything we begin to imagine adds to our righteousness is just the religion of mankind. Instead of a steeple pointing to Christ, it's a tower we build, thinking brick by brick we're getting closer to heaven. Brothers and sisters, I pray that this is never us. And if it is, that we repent and return to the always outstretched hands of Jesus Christ. Man-made religion and mankind's worship of our own self-perceived awesomeness. Well, listen what God says about it in verse 5. Such people are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that keeps burning all day. And in verse 7, God says, I will measure into their laps the full payment for their former deeds. You and I, we cannot stand in front of God on our own. We are saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, and we continue in that salvation by the grace of Jesus Christ. We still sin, We will until we die. And it's a big deal when we sin. But everyone who trusts in the grace of Jesus Christ is forgiven and is no longer captive to sin. And that's what we want our steeple to stand for. Our steeple stands only by God's grace, and so does each and every one of us. We don't earn it. Jesus earned it for us and freely gave it to us. So one might be tempted to read Isaiah 65 and conclude that religion itself is the problem. But that's not what's being taught here. False religion is the problem. Steeples that stand for the wrong reasons are the problem. Look at verse 8 with me here. God says he will take care of his servants. God will deliver those who worship him in spirit and in truth. God is not calling us to abandon our religion. He's calling us to live out the love and the sanctification that he graciously gives us. God is calling us to point to the freedom and the power that he gives us to fight against sin and not be captive to our own sinful inclinations. God is calling you to understand the depth of his love for you so that you can share that love with others. In the Old Testament, when God said, "Here I am, here I am," he was pointing to his temple. In the New Testament, the temple is Jesus' body, which is us. We are the hands, feet, and mouth of Jesus, which means in chapter 65, verse 2, we are the outstretched arms of God, calling to an obstinate and unbelieving people, saying, "Here is God. Here is righteousness. Here is the man that loved you so much, he gave his life so you, whoever you are, could be one of God's chosen people." It's my prayer, brothers and sisters, that as we go out into the world, that is what we are known for. Please pray with me. Father, we know that our righteousness is a gift from you, and yet I know that I have used your righteousness to point to me and my perceived greatness instead of you and your great love for me. I ask your forgiveness for that sin, and I rejoice in the promise that you freely give it, not because of what I've done, but because of what Jesus has done for me. I pray now, Lord, that my entire life would be one of worship and service to you, and that the good works you have set before me to do would all point to you and your great love for us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.